We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of The Morning Grind. I am Grant Niefer. I'm not Stevie TFPFL. He's got things going on, so guess what? You're stuck with me. Sucks to be you, but good news is you got one of the best NFL minds in the business, Keith Eyster, Eyes819. How you doing over there, buddy?
Doing good. Nice early week look at this slate here that we have. Really no idea of how it's going to shake out. All kinds of people on the injury report. Such is the way, kind of, with midseason NFL. We're used to that with NBA now on a daily basis. We're coming off a crazy 10-game NBA slate tonight where we had all kinds of news break. This feels a little bit like that in with all these injuries that we're waiting on in the NFL here.
Yeah. No, I mean, there is so many. And I'm probably just going to read off the main ones before every single game, because I guarantee me and you are not going to be able to remember every single one of them. So I'm just going to give us a nice little reminder, but yeah, should be a fun one. We got a lot of not terribly high totals, but a lot just inching in close to the 50 mark. I don't know. I think we have one that is 50. I don't even know if we have one that's at 50, but we have multiple that are in between 49 and 50. So, and a lot of those are going to be close games. So this could be a real fun slate. Let's just go ahead and break right on into it. Starting off with one of the better games of the week. We have the Chargers going up against the Falcons. We have a 49.5 total here. Lots of injury news here. Mike Williams, not participating in practice. Keenan Allen, doubtful to play. It seems like the bye week actually made it worse from what I said. On the Falcons side, nothing important. So we'll just go ahead and start off with the Chargers. Any interest in anyone on this offensive side? Like, what are you paying attention to? Who's going to end up popping if both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams end up missing? It's because it's supposed to be a good spot here, but it's just tough outside of Eckler to know who to go with in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers going into the Dome in Atlanta, obviously, typically a spot we'd love to target because Atlanta has a really bad defense. You've got the fast track indoors, don't have to worry about the weather. Like, we should love this spot, but you touched on a couple key injuries here for Justin Herbert. So, going to have to – I think Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are more than likely both missing this game, which leaves the Chargers pretty thin. You touched on the smash play in this spot is Austin Eckler. He has just been incredible. He has been uber efficient, has been finding the end zone with regularity. He's catching a ton of passes. That could be even more highlighted with no Keenan Allen. He can definitely play a lot more of that slot type role. So Austin Eckler is one of my favorite running backs on the entire slate. I don't, this 49 total is a bit surprising to me. It feels high. Like, Atlanta plays slow. They love to run the ball. So I was surprised to see it up at 49.
I mean, what are the Chargers terrible against?
The run, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with I don't know, Herbert lacking weapons. I mean, he still has Eckler, no doubt about that. Josh Palmer has some skills. He's 5,100. He's probably the wide receiver one here. DeAndre Carter has had some decent games. He's 4,300. And then a kind of a surprising guy who's seen a little bit of work this season is Michael Bandy down at 3,500. If both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are out, I think you can take some shots on Bandy. He should see the field. But the guy, the pass catcher I'm really interested in outside of Eckler is Gerald Everett. He's going to have a role here no matter what. Atlanta has struggled against the tight end. 4,800 is a bit of a hefty price tag to pay for Gerald Everett. But I mean, like I called Palmer the wide receiver one. It might actually be Gerald Everett.
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to talk about Everett. I mean, Everett is the guy you really want to go with. I mean, he's been solid this season. Herbert has loved to pass the ball to him. He's just been getting volume pretty much every single week. And in a tight end position, that's always kind of tough to figure out. I think that he's probably one of the better tight ends, maybe the best tight end on the slate if Keenan Allen doesn't end up playing, which I don't really expect him to. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, Palmer, Carter, Bandy, all of them could end up with a decent role in this spot here. None of them are too expensive. They're probably going to be some of the salary savers that we end up looking at. But yeah, realistically, the play from this and these biggest smash play is going to be Austin Eckler. I mean, 8.8K going up against an Atlanta defense. He's going to end up with potentially 10 catches in this spot, maybe more. I mean, he's had 10 plus catches in each of the last 2 weeks. Not going to do a ton on the ground, but he's going to get dump off after dump off pretty much the entire game. He's in an absolute smash spot. Let's talk about the other side in Atlanta. I mean, 23.25 total. It's we do want to attack San Diego or not San Diego. I will never stop calling him San Diego. You want to attack the Chargers with the ground game, but I mean, they've got multiple guys in the backfield. I could see Mariota with a decent game here. Drake London has just been pissing me off. Kyle Pitts. Yeah, Kyle Pitts pissed me off for a really long time. And then everyone else jumped off the boat and I stayed on. And boy, did that work out great. At least in that spot, I still lost everything last week, but that's beside the point. Who are you looking at here for the Falcons?
Yeah, this run game is really difficult to figure out. I mean, prior to this week, it felt like Algier was kind of taking over the backfield, but they did designate Cordero Patterson to return from IR, so he has a chance to make it back for this game. I have no idea what they would do with this backfield if he was able to return. Going to have to keep an eye on the beat reporters in Atlanta and things like that. Like, if Patterson makes it back and he's active, we don't like, is he going to be a full go? Patterson at 5,800, if he's a full go, is very intriguing in this spot. If he's inactive, Tyler Allgeier in this spot is very intriguing at 5,400. I don't think I'll mess with Huntley. It seems like Allgeier has clearly passed Huntley. Let me pull up. I have their snap shares here. 58% of the snaps last week for Allgeier, 37% for Huntley. So a little bit better than 60-40. Algier's doubling him up almost. So he would be the guy if Patterson is inactive. But if Patterson is active, this gets really complicated. They're all cheap enough. I think we have some interest in some of them. But figuring out who it's going to be here Wednesday night as we're recording this is pretty difficult. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on this new situation. Kyle Pitts, absolutely in play. He's still cheap, 4,500. We know this guy has just massive upside. Drake London, I don't know where the targets have gone. A guy I was on a bunch last week, figured that Mariota would throw it more than he had the last couple of weeks. He did, in fact. He threw it more than he has all season long. But Drake London saw three or four targets. It was five targets, but caught four of them for 31 yards. Just really tough. I'll probably still go to some London just because this massive total indoors, as we mentioned, like it's a game environment we want to target. I think London is still in play because of the cheap price tag. It's not a comfortable play. I prefer Pitts, but I'll have some London too.
Yep. Right there with you. I mean, it's real simple. Like you probably want to go Mariota with Pitts, but realistically you probably want to throw in whoever the starting running back is the main guy you want from the Atlanta side as a bring back if you aren't throwing in Mariota. Let's move on to the next game. We got Miami going up against Chicago. Decent total here, 45.5. Have to control find this game. Dolphins. There we go. From the Dolphins side on the injury report, looks like Jeff Wilson was limited. Mostert was limited. Outside of that, really not a ton that we have to worry about. I mean, Waddle was a full participant in practice. And on the Bears side of things, who knows if Claypool will play this weekend? That could be interesting. So we'll just start off with the Miami side of things. I mean, we're just doing the same thing we do every week, which is Hill, Waddle, Tua.
Yeah, absolutely love this spot for that stack again. It was obviously the stack you needed last week. This is another fantastic spot. Like, Chicago's defense wasn't great a couple weeks ago. Now they have traded Roquan Smith. They have traded Robert Quinn. This Chicago defense is one of the worst in the league now at this point. They're on the level of an Atlanta.
They might be the worst or a in
Detroit.
The league after
they
all the
legitimately might be worse than like Atlanta and Detroit. Miami should be able to do whatever they want in this game. Obviously, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle both near the top of the entire league in receiving yards. They have just continued to smash on a weekly basis. Absolutely love that double stack. Going to be popular again, more than likely, but you need some exposure if you don't want the chance to get buried by it. A mistake I made last week is I played a ton of Raheem Mostert. I think I'm probably going to go right back there again. Like, the Chicago defense does not scare me at all.
I mean, it is interesting with Jeff Wilson coming into play. I don't think he'll be in too much. So realistically, I think this is going to be the best week to actually have Mostert. Just going up against a horrible defense where they should be leading. And you got him with like very little competition with Edmonds shipped out and Wilson in there.
Yep, that was my exact line of thinking. Like, Jeff Wilson will probably be active and might see a few touches, but really this is going to be Mostert for the majority of it. We'll have to see where ownership shakes out. But if Tyreek and Waddle are going to be super popular like we envision because of what they've done the last couple of weeks, I think Mostert is a great way to play this game. Chicago is not stopping anybody. It just depends on what Miami wants to do here.
Yep. I'm right there with you. I mean, Waddle, Tyreek, Mostert. I can't argue with that. Like, you pretty much have to have at least some Dolphin stacks every single week. They're just the volume that both of them are
and
getting.
And such concentrated volume. Like, we know exactly where it's going. Like, Gesicki will mix in a little bit. Sherfield will get it his, but it's all Tyreek and it's all Waddle. And it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's one of the most fun offenses to watch at this point, and one of the most fun to roster Tyreek and Waddle. Looking at the other side with Chicago, Fields naked is always fine. Herbert, Montgomery don't stand out as great plays. I don't want to play any pass catcher ever. I mean, can you talk to me on to any Chicago player?
Justin Fields is the one. He has been a top five fantasy quarterback each of the last 2 weeks. I talked about this with Stevie last week in New England. The Bears offense just looked entirely different than it has all season. They were designing runs for Fields.
He's basically like playing like Lamar Jackson in his first.
That's exactly what I said. Exactly what I said last week. He came out and had a really great game again. So I think that's the play. You just play Fields naked. Claypool entering this wide receiving core should help him. He should be able to get some more passing yards. I don't feel comfortable enough that Claypool is going to play enough that I want to play him. He obviously eats into what we can expect from Mooney or even Komet as another big body down there in the red zone. So I just don't play a pass catcher with him. Just play Justin Fields. The backfield is pretty much a complete split right now. So I will be avoiding that. Chicago love to run the ball. I just don't know who it's going to be, Montgomery and Herbert. Herbert is on the verge of passing him, I think, but Montgomery is still going to be very much involved. It'd be like a 55-45 split, I think. So probably just avoiding that the run situation. Justin Fields is the only Chicago guy I have interest in.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it for me. You want to play Fields naked. 5.3K is probably too low considering his upside. I mean, he can legit end up with 100 rushing yards in any given game, especially – this game, I think that he's the play, and then I just kind of am staying away from everyone else. I don't think Claypool plays enough to really be that much of a contributor. Plus, they're still probably not going to pass the ball more than 25 times, so you just can't really get much upside from this offense outside of
Fields. Yeah, quickly, I think a Fields Tyreek Waddle stack is very much in play.
I was going to ask you about that. Like,
you save 1400.
It makes sense to kind of run it back and hope that Fields is just doing stuff on the ground and getting rushing touchdowns and keeping this game close.
Yep, it's definitely unconventional, but this is a spot where both of those wide receivers get so much volume, and Fields just scores so much by himself on the ground. I think that's viable.
Yep. All right, next game, we've got Panthers going up against the Bengals. Bengals are a big favorite here, not a big total, sitting around 42. Let's start off with Carolina. Foreman did not participate in practice. I don't know if that's just resting. Chuba was a limited participant in practice. And then over on the Bengals side, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is still going to be out for several weeks. Outside of that, not really a ton there. So let's just talk about Carolina. It could be interesting with this RB situation. I don't know if Foreman's just getting a day of rest or what. It is only Wednesday night, so I'm not sure. But assuming he's in there, like, he's been just fantastic in recent weeks, and he's pretty much their offense.
Yeah, he has been. I would need Chuba out to consider him, I think. This Bengals defense has been really good, and in particular, really good against the run. Foreman doesn't offer a ton in the receiving game, so you need some touchdowns from him for him to get there. Price has come up a little bit, 6,000, but if Chuba's out again, he's still in play despite the tough matchup. I don't love him now that the price is up a little bit and this matchup, but if Chuba was out, we know he has the full backfield to himself. He's still in play. If Chuba is active, I'd probably just stay away from it. I think Foreman would still run clearly ahead of Chuba, but just because of the matchup and the increase in price, I probably don't get there very much. DJ Moore is somebody who's very interesting because of the volume he can rack up. Obviously, he got there in an amazing fashion at the end of regulation last week. Somebody I played a ton of, and it was looking like he was going to fail for most of the game.
It was looking real bleak. Then it changed real quickly.
Real quick. One play. Who knew PJ Walker had that kind of an arm? Longest air yards throw of the season, I believe that was. Incredible pass from PJ Walker. Terrace Marshall is another guy I have here. 9 targets last week. He's still only 3,900. This Cincinnati defense is really good, but I think that at that price, you can consider them. I don't want to stack Carolina by any means, but I think as run backs from Burrow stacks, DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall are in play.
Yeah, I don't hate that. And, like you said, if Chuba is out, then I think Foreman is a little bit interesting. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but yeah, I'm worried about the blowout. That's the biggest potential problem with Foreman, but I don't know. I'll probably end up limiting my Carolina exposure. What about on the other side with the Bengals? I mean, clear run game script, no Ja'Marr Chase. They might keep a run heavy offense. Mixon has been getting obviously only 1 week, but 9 targets, 7 receptions without Chase in the game. Hasn't done that since week 1 when they went to overtime. Who are you looking at for the Cincy side?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about Cincy. I got absolutely wrecked on that showdown because I thought they would just continue to operate as normal, even without Ja'Marr Chase, just because T. Higgins is very good. Tyler Boyd is very good. Hayden Hurst is very good. Like, I thought there were still plenty of weapons here for Joe Burrow, but they looked rough, and they got absolutely rocked by Cleveland. I don't see Carolina doing that here. So I probably have some interest, but I'm concerned for the Cincinnati passing game. It makes me like Joe Mixon more. Joe Mixon is one of my favorite running backs on the slate. Should have a fantastic game script here. We've seen Mixon, when he's in a good game script, get up to 23 to 25 carries. So I'm with you on the Mixon thing. I think this is a Joe Mixon spot. Don't mind pairing him with the Cincinnati defense. T. Higgins is underpriced for his role. I will have some exposure. I'm worried he's going to be a little bit popular. And after what we saw Cleveland do to them, I am a little concerned. So if the Cincinnati passing game comes in popular here, I'll probably go underweight and just load up on more Mixon, but keeping an eye on ownership there.
Yeah, for me, it's predominantly Mixon game. I think that he's the guy that's probably going to get the most of the workload, but I don't mind building up a little game stack with PJ Walker and throwing in DJ Moore, like kind of hoping we saw something similar to what we did last week, where they somehow keep it in the game. I know the Carolina's just been looking terrible. But I mean, if PJ Walker's getting done, it's probably with Moore, and the one game script where they're actually leading means that Cincinnati's probably going to be throwing the ball to Higgins a decent amount. So that's kind of the only way I would end up really playing Higgins is as a bring back, but a very low owned Walker Moore stack. But I think that Mixon is the play. Let's move on to the next game. We got the Packers going up against the Lions. I have no idea what to do with this. Lazard was limited in practice. Christian Watson, I don't think he's playing this week, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but he did not practice. On the Lions side of things, it looks like Swift is limited or didn't participate in practice. They're going to be fairly slow with him. Josh Reynolds was a limited participant. Obviously, Hawkinson is now gone. So we'll start off with the Green Bay side of things. I don't know. I have to wait and see where ownership's going to lie at, because no matter how bad the Packers offense has looked, this is Detroit. This is the pinnacle of game environments. Detroit in a dome for Rodgers. I don't like playing Rodgers. I've not liked playing Rodgers this entire time. I will have a ton of exposure to Aaron Jones, as everyone should, going up against one of the worst defenses in the league. I don't even hate A.J. Dillon. This is a Detroit game. I want to play everyone.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's a team that we've attacked all season long, especially when they're at home in the dome, like you mentioned. This Green Bay passing attack, man, like they might literally hand the ball off 40 times in this game. Detroit trading away Hawkinson. I'm a little concerned about their ability to keep up at this point now. Getting DeAndre Swift back fully healthy would be a huge boost to that. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on DeAndre Swift. Just stacking Rodgers doesn't feel comfortable at this point because they want to run the ball. Like they're a run first team at this point. I can't believe they did not add a wide receiver. And the wide receivers they do have are all banged up.
Absolutely.
Packers. Like Brandon Cooks was a perfect target for them. I don't understand
absolutely
that one.
Perfect. There's nothing better. Like they could potentially be a Super Bowl contender with Cooks. And year after year, they're like, no, we don't want to bring in wide receivers. Let's just draft him a few rounds down the road and hope for the best.
Yeah. It's just wild stuff. Don't understand it, but I don't like, we'll see what happens with Lazard and Watson. They're looking pretty iffy at this point. If they're out, it's Dobbs. Price tag is all the way up to 5,300. I'm still not sure Rodgers trusts him, but he might be the only guy left. Sammy Watkins just doesn't have it anymore. He's only 3,600. I don't hate it if you want to take shots there, but I think I feel better about Dobbs despite him being almost 2K more. I don't know. I'm with you. I need to see ownership on this, because if this is popular, and I think it might be because it's like Detroit, we've been attacking them all year with great success. So it might come in with some ownership.
Yeah. I can fade this game, or I can fade the passing game if it's going to be chalky. I don't think I can fade Aaron Jones regardless.
I agree with you. Yeah. He's a fantastic play. He's expensive. But he could be the guy who's involved in the passing game too. We saw a massive workload from him against Buffalo. He's expensive. You have to pay for it, but absolutely worth it in this matchup.
Yep. Then on the other side, Detroit. I mean, it's Detroit. Every single week. The running game's a little bit iffy. I don't know how much work Swift will end up getting. Williams is sitting at 6K with both those guys in the offense. I don't know. I want to go with either of them. But now with Hawkinson gone, I have to assume Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to get 12-plus targets in this spot here, no matter what. Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond should both see an increase. I like all the Detroit passing game.
So I'm interested in the running game. The Packers are a very pass offense and one of the worst run defenses in the league. I want to play DeAndre Swift. I'm very concerned whether he's healthy or not. It's not comfortable. We've seen him active the last couple of weeks, and he just hasn't gotten a workload at all, which makes like three different times he's been active and barely gotten work because of this injury. I don't know. Like, it's another situation where you just kind of have to monitor the reports and things that we get out of practice leading up to Sunday. I want to be able to pull the trigger on DeAndre Swift very badly. Amon-Ra St. Brown, absolutely going to be somebody I play a ton. Don't care how good the Packers pass defense is. He's going to get volume in the spot. I think he's a phenomenal play. Interested in Reynolds as well. He's kind of been the number two here. He's been a little bit banged up as well. I don't want to play Khalif Raymond really, I don't think, but he'd be the other guy. And then the Hockenson departure is going to open up some things. There's a guy named James Mitchell at 2,500 minimum price tight end. Just because we think Detroit's going to be trailing in this game, they should be throwing the ball a ton. I think you can take some stabs on James Mitchell as well.
Yeah, Brock Wright ends up missing this weekend, which I think is currently sitting at questionable. Then I like that call with James Mitchell. I mean, I don't think they have many other tight ends who have been playing too much. So I could see James Mitchell being a solid option in the spot at min price. He's going to be that min price tight end punt. But yeah, right there with you. Moving on to the next game, we got the Raiders going up against the Jaguars. Decent total here, 47.5. Raiders, Matt Collins, limited participant in practice. Adams, limited participant in practice. Waller, limited participant in practice. So they may or may not play. They probably should play, but who knows. Then on the Jacksonville side, nothing there. Let's start off with the Raiders, who I played far too much of. So yep. I'm going to abstain from saying anything outside of Jacobs may get three touchdowns just because he does that sometimes.
Yeah, very surprising what we saw from the Raiders. Just no-showed completely going into New Orleans last week. Thought that should be a fantastic game environment. Just did not work out at all. It's hard to trust them at this point. Going into Jacksonville, like, it's not as good of a spot. Like, I know New Orleans defense is really good. I'm going to play some Adams. I don't know that I'm playing any Carr with him though. Probably just Adams for me. Jacobs very much in play. Still very expensive, but like you said, we've seen him put up the three touchdown games and just be an absolute guy you need with his role. He has a ceiling here that can be necessary for tournaments. So Jacobs' favorite play on the Las Vegas side. I'm interested in Adams. Less so interested if Waller does end up playing. He's missed a couple of games here now, so have to keep an eye on that. But I'll play a little Adams either way just because he's another guy that has a massive ceiling, but Jacobs would be the primary target here.
Yeah, I don't mind anything. I don't love anything. That's it. I mean, it's mostly Jacobs, but is he my favorite upper-tier wide or running back? Probably not. Jacksonville side, I mean, their passing game has been kind of a mess, but ETN.
Yeah,
man, he can play. Good. Yeah, ETN is the play for me. 24 rush attempts, 3 receptions on 3 targets last week. ETN is like the 6K range of running back is just stacked this week.
Yeah, as it has been the last couple of weeks. Like, getting this range right is you, like, you're going to have to get it right to win. ETN is going to be one of my highest owned guys there. Traded away James Robinson to clear this role for him. Now there's just nobody behind him here. It looks like he's going to have a legitimately awesome role for fantasy football here. Very talented out of the backfield as well. Can catch passes. This is just a slam dunk role for ETN, and this is a great matchup for ETN here at home. So I don't think I want to mess with any Jacksonville pass catchers. Christian Kirk is fine if you want to go there. Evan Ingram is fine. He's a cheap tight end. That might be my highest exposure guy from the passing game. But just give me all the Travis Etienne.
Yep, right there with you. Moving on to the next game, we got the Colts going up against the Patriots. 39.5 total here. This is not a not a great fantasy game. We do have some injuries that could change a little bit. Jonathan Taylor didn't practice, might end up missing this week. On the Patriots side of things, Parker didn't practice. That's kind of it. I have no interest in any Colt player outside of Jonathan Taylor if he plays potentially, and if he doesn't, Deion Jackson potentially. That's it.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm interested in Jonathan Taylor. Like, this line has been brutal. He hasn't been the same guy that we saw last year. He has not shown me that he can pay off this tag in this matchup at all this season. Now that he's banged up a little bit too, I'm probably just avoiding Jonathan Taylor if he's active. If he's out, we have to talk about Deion Jackson. 5,200 has shown incredible skills out of the backfield, had 10 receptions in the one game where he was the primary back. I'd be going right back to that because I struggle to see how Indy is going to move the ball here with Ellinger at quarterback against a decent Patriots defense. Deion Jackson is a way that they could do that for sure. So Jackson's the guy that I'm interested in if Taylor is out. Otherwise, I'm probably just completely avoiding Indy altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I could potentially see playing Alec Pierce as a cheaper wide receiver that's likely not going to come in very heavily owned, or Paris Campbell if you're just stuck in that range. But realistically, yeah, it's Jackson and it's Pierce. Then on the New England side of things, I mean, Stevenson,
yep.
Jacoby Myers, it's kind of it.
Yeah, Ramondre, I'm very interested in. We saw him still play ahead of Damian Harris, even though Harris was active. He has the more valuable role as well with his pass catching ability. He's still only 6,200. So I'm very interested in Ramondre Stevenson, even if Harris is active again. I don't need to get the passing game with Mac Jones against a good Indy defense. Hunter Henry is cheap. I don't love that. Yeah, I'm just avoiding the New England passing game altogether. Just give me Ramondre Stevenson here.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I still think Jacoby Myers in there, just potential high volume like that. That's yep. And it's strictly over on PPR sites like DK. Moving on to the next game, could be interesting. Probably not going to be interesting. We have the Bills going up against the Jets. Bills are a 12.5 point favorite against, what are they, the 5-2 Jets, something like that. I don't know, one way more games than anyone thought. Yeah, Bills, in terms of injuries, not much. I mean, I can't expect Hines to be too active in this one. Jets, Corey Davis might miss, which could make things rough over there. We'll start off with the Bills. I mean, we've seen him over and over again, even in massive blowouts, just, you know, we're going to pass the ball. You know, we're up 20. Let's pass the ball. So I kind of think right now that even if they're blowing out the Jets, they might pass the ball. And if they aren't, then they'll still be passing the ball. So Diggs, Gabe Davis, Josh Allen.
That's what I got. Absolutely. Yeah, I you nailed it. You have to have some exposure to Josh Allen anytime he's on the slate. Just the absolute highest ceiling in fantasy football. Diggs is perfectly fine. Absolutely love him. Gabe Davis price tag is a little bit uncomfortable, but he has those spike weeks where he scores two or three times and is just a guy that you absolutely have to have. So you don't worry about pricing.
He can have the highest fantasy point outing on the entire slate for some reason. Yep. I don't understand why, or he can do nothing.
Yep, absolutely. Very interested in the Allen. Dawson Knox is another guy, 3,500, got a touchdown each of the last 2 weeks or last two games that they played. So he's in play for sure. I'm looking to double stack Allen as much as possible. Obviously, Tua is a great play too, but Allen's right there with him.
Yep. Yep, other side of the game, Jets. I mean, if Davis doesn't end up playing, I mean, Garrett Wilson just had all the volume last week. Garrett Wilson and then dump-offs to the running backs is pretty much what their offensive Offense is, I have a problem playing the running game. James Robinson is solid. I think with an extra week under his belt, he should be more heavily involved. Zach Wilson, I don't want to play him against Buffalo. Buffalo has, I think, one of the highest pressure rates in the league, and they also don't blitz. I think this is just a shellacking here. I could see playing Garrett Wilson at 4.8 and him being one of the best plays on the slate. And potentially Elijah Moore. Can we do that?
No, I don't think so. Like, he just – he doesn't have a role. Like,
he doesn't. But, I mean, if Davis ends up – I've wanted to make him work pretty much all season long. And he's just not going to.
I don't see any reason why he just suddenly falls into targets now. It hasn't happened all season long for him. Like Denzel Mims caught a couple of balls late in that game. Like, that's how much they just don't trust Elijah Moore. Berrios, maybe if they, I get your angle there. If Corey Davis is out, somebody has to take over. Like, this is a spot the Jets should trail and they should have to throw it a ton.
You have to think it's Garrett Wilson. And
Garrett Wilson is absolutely the run back here, or Michael Carter. Those are the two that I would play. I can't mess with anything else any deeper than that.
Yeah, it's ugly. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on to the next game here. We got the Vikings going up against the Commanders. The Vikings, Thielen participated in practice, so he looks like he's good to go. For the Commander side of things, Dotson didn't practice. McKissick didn't practice. Logan Thomas was limited, they should be fine. Let's start off with Minnesota. I mean, this isn't going to be a terribly high-scoring game. Cook, Jefferson, Thielen, it's kind of it. I don't really want to play Cousins.
Yeah, I don't want to play Cousins either. I can't trust Hockenson to be involved enough after just coming over earlier in the week. It's Cook and Jefferson really the only two for me. I think they're both very good plays. I don't need any soda stacks, I don't think. I just want to target a ceiling game from Cook or Jefferson. Thielen is fine, but I think I want to play Cousins if I was playing Thielen. And I don't know. I just don't feel the need to do that. Cousins isn't like there are many, like, I'd rather play Fields for $1,000 cheaper. I'd rather play Mariota for cheaper. There's another guy later who's cheaper that we're going to talk about who's in a great spot. Just give me some Jefferson. Give me some Cook. That's about all I need from the Minnesota side.
Yep. Pretty simple. Washington side of things. I mean, I think he loves to throw the ball to McLaurin.
Yes, he does. He
absolutely loves it. I don't really love this running game. Like, it's McLaurin for me. That's kind of maybe Curtis Samuel just based on volume, but I mean, Heinicke hasn't been throwing the ball to him nearly as much as Wentz was.
Yep. I think you nailed the breakdown spot on here. The running backs are too much of a timeshare to consider. The wide receivers, we've seen a drastic shift in target share with Heinicke under center. 8 targets each of the last 2 weeks for McLaurin. He's too cheap at 5,900 for that role. If he's going to continue, he's going back to the role that he had last year, and we were paying 7K for him last year. So McLaurin, very underpriced. Absolutely love him.
Yep, that's kind of it. Moving on to the next game. That one was super simple, but this one is not going to be simple. We got the Seahawks going up against the Cardinals. Lockett limited in practice. Metcalf limited in practice. Marquise Goodwin did not practice. Noah Fant was limited in practice. Penny Hart was limited in practice. On the Cardinals side of things, James Conner was limited in practice. That's kind of it. So pretty tough to dissect the Seahawks side of the game. I mean, I think Kenneth Walker is a great play regardless. I mean, Kenneth Walker has been fantastic in this offense so far. But the receiving game, I mean, I want to play Geno Smith. I, for some reason, want to play him every single week because he wins me a lot of tournaments. Not as much in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but he's a guy with some upside. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know who's going to play. If Lockett's out and Metcalf is out, then Godwin, Estridge, Hart, Fant, Disley, play them all. Metcalf and Lockett play, they're in play. I think Fant's probably in play regardless at 2.9K. But yeah, if Lockett and Metcalf miss, Godwin might be the best play on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. This game was chalk when these two teams met the first time this season, and it failed. I think it was in Seattle, so it's outdoors, dealing with elements up there in Seattle. This game is in Arizona, which is a dome, has a retractable roof. So even if the roof is open, though, it's going to be beautiful in Arizona. This is a game to target. Like, I think it's going to be overlooked because of how many questionable tags there are here. And it's my favorite game environment of the week. I think it failing earlier this season is going to scare some people off. I think if Lockett and Metcalf don't play, that people are going to be scared to click on Goodwin or Eskridge. Arizona's defense has been playing a little bit better, but they're still not anything to be afraid of, in my opinion. Geno Smith is a name that people don't love to click on, but like you mentioned, me too. He's had some ceiling games this year. We see who's available for him to throw to, because I'm right there with you. I like Geno Smith. I would say I love Geno Smith in this spot. I love the game environment. I hope we get one of Lockett or Metcalf, but Goodwin, he's shown capable, and Geno loves him.
Because Geno's the best quarterback in the league. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. He's just the best quarterback in the league.
Well, the best might be a stretch.
The best.
I wouldn't even call you crazy for saying top 10, but the best is probably a little bit of a stretch.
I'm a Seahawks fan, and I wanted us to get the first overall pick. And now that we're in playoff contention and there's no chance of the first overall pick, now I want Geno to become better than Russell Wilson was.
Wouldn't that be some kind of story?
And they don't even re-sign him next year.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Like, what do you pay a guy like that who's been a career backup and then just comes out and he shows to be a very capable starting quarterback? I mean,
$15 million a year for 3 years and just hope for the best.
Yeah, that's the Teddy Bridgewater contract, right? I think that makes sense. I think he's better than Bridgewater though. So,
he's absolutely better than Bridgewater. I mean, that's not a big bar.
Correct. That's fair. We'll see what other competition is out there. I don't know. Quarterbacks are hard to come by. Somebody might offer him a bag.
Yeah. Hopefully he just stays in Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's at least entertaining and he's got a good connection, but yeah, just play whatever wide receivers are available, play them. And then on the Arizona side, I mean, Hopkins could be one of the best plays on the entire slate. He could be the top scoring wide receiver on this slate. Connor coming back in kind of muddies the backfield a little bit, but I assume he's going to go back to his lead back role. So I don't mind him. Ertz is solid. Morris, solid. Murray's solid. Had 100 rushing yards against Seattle last time. Didn't throw the ball well, but rushed fantastically. He's had at least a week to prepare on Call of Duty, so he should be good to go here. Where's your interest over there?
Yeah, I mean, Nuke Hopkins, 27 targets in the two games he's played. Just an insane role here from this guy. Really bad Seattle defense. Love the Kyler to Hopkins stack. Rondale Moore at 5,200 just doesn't feel comfortable. I know he had a big week last week, 8 targets. I don't know if I can go back to Rondale Moore. Robbie Anderson is super cheap. You would think he has to get worked in here a little bit. So I think I would go Robbie Anderson over Rondale Moore, but Moore's in play just because of that volume that we've seen from him before. Love Zach Ertz. Don't love the price tag. 5,100, but another guy with a great role. Absolutely in play. Not touching the backfield with Connor coming back. I think Connor could be really sneaky, but I don't know. I don't trust it that for them just to give him the lead role back. I think that's definitely within the range of outcomes. And if he had the lead role in this game environment at 5,800, that would be a very valuable thing. I'll probably just need to see it, which means I'll miss out on it if that is what happens. But yeah, Nuke Hopkins, one of the best plays on the entire slate. Dart throws at Robbie Anderson for a cheap long touchdown. I'll have some more in Ertz because of the game environment, but I don't love their prices.
Yeah, so Richie in chat asking, would you guys stack Geno with Locke and Metcalf? And if they don't play, pivot to Godwin and Murray? I mean, you could do that. Also, you could potentially just pivot Lockett or Metcalf and Moore on the other side for Goodwin and Hopkins. But I don't care. Whatever wide receiver plays for Seattle, unless it becomes a little bit muddy if both Lockett, Metcalf, and Goodwin all miss.
Yes.
Because if Goodwin plays, I could still see Geno putting up a decent game. Just because I can, and his price is cheap. But you could also just throw in Murray and Hopkins and then bring it back with Goodwin. I'm going to love this game regardless. We'll see what ends up happening with the injury report. I mean, Metcalf is apparently superhuman and can. I did a bet and I just assumed Metcalf was out, and then I got the alert Saturday night, Metcalf is going to play. I'm like, no, that's not right. No,
yeah, I was the same. Like, I thought it was a multi-week injury, and then he's back. He didn't even miss a game. Yeah. Yeah, crazy stuff. Definitely keep an eye on the injury stuff. Like, we should – I know it's a late game, and that's never fun to go into a slate and not know for sure that a guy is playing. If you follow the right people, like Schefter usually gives us some inclination. Wrap up out there, obviously a little bit harder to trust him, but like there should be enough information floating around leading up to lock on Sunday that you have a good idea if they're playing or not.
Yeah. No, again, you can always bring it back with Rondale Moore or Zach Ertz or something, and then swap over to a Geno Goodwin Fant stack, bring back with Hopkins or Kyler, Rondale Moore, bring it back with Goodwin, something like that. Like, there's going to be different things if we don't have news on one of them playing. And I mean, if both of them are questionable coming into it, Locke and Metcalf are not that much different. So just keep 300 on the board there. But I mean, I assume that we'll know by Saturday night.
Yeah. And the other thing is just do multiple pieces from the game, and then you can shift some things around. Like, if you have Kyle Metcalf in there, you can go Geno and Hopkins. Like, I would play at least four pieces from this game if I was doing it. It's an amazing game environment anyway. Leave yourself some options if we don't have the news yet.
Yep. Although it is interesting. Only two afternoon games. The other afternoon game is ugly. We got the Bucks going up against the Rams. 42.5 total here. Bucks are a 3-point favorite. Kupp did not practice. Akers did not practice. Van Jefferson limited on the Bucks side. We got Gage did not practice. Julio Jones did not practice. Bray limited. Evans limited. So same thing. Bucks are just getting old. We'll start off here with the Rams. I mean, I'm kind of going to assume that Kupp is going to play. It's Kupp and Stafford, and that's kind of it. If Kupp somehow misses, then Allen Robinson, I think, could smash.
Yeah. This Rams team is kind of a mess. I don't even know if I want to play Stafford. So just give me Kupp for that volume. Van Jefferson is a guy I played way too much of last week, trying to get ahead of that. Didn't work out. Keeping in, now he's back on the injury report. So probably just forget that idea for now. I'm with you. I think Kupp plays here. Like, they just can't afford to go a week without him. Tough matchup against Tampa Bay, but he has an elite role. You play Kupp anytime he's on a slate. I think he's the only Rams guy. Higbee at 3,700, interesting as well. We've seen him have big volume as well, so I don't mind Higbee. I play Stafford with him, so I probably won't play him in the same lineup, but I'll have exposure to Kupp and Higbee.
Yep, and then on the Bucks side, I just don't think this is going to be a great game. Godwin, Evans are fine. Uncle Lenny is fine. No one stands out as a great play.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Evans and Godwin. They can win in any matchup. They have elite roles. I'm scared of Fournette's role. Rashard White is coming. He had four carries last week, three targets. The snap share is starting to move in his favor a little bit. Like, we've seen Fournette with that elite role before, and I just don't know that we can trust that he still has it. Man, I'm looking at the snap share now, and Fournette did play 75% of the snaps to White's 25%. So,
yeah, Uncle Lenny has that.
I'm concerned that if Tampa Bay were to get behind, that White is the guy that gets the passes, and then it, like, Fournette's failing. I think Tampa Bay probably wins the game. I think that Fournette is certainly safe in a positive game script. It's just the negative game script. I would be a little bit worried about White cutting into his role a little bit, but he's totally fine. I prefer other running backs in this range. Evans and Godwin, fantastic. Definitely can play some of them. And Brait should still be out, I would think. I guess he was back at practice, so maybe Brait isn't. Isn't for sure out.
So I think he might be back.
Yeah. Okay. I think you can look into Brait if he's active. If he's out, then I like Otten. Whoever's active at tight end, I think, is in play as well.
Yep. Yep. That's it. You remember the rules of the morning grind game, I assume?
Yeah.
All right. So you go ahead and say the rules, because I have been on the football podcast all year.
Okay. So we are looking for a quarterback to throw for 300 yards.
I'm going to go with Geno Smith.
Love it. I think people are going to underrate this game, that game environment, because it failed the first time. Love that call. I'm going to go with the easy one, Tua. Tua against his Bears defense. Maybe they don't need to end up throwing enough, but I think he could throw for 300 and three quarters here. They're going to be able to do whatever they want on this really bad Bears defense.
Yep.
All right.
Low-owned running back to get a touchdown. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. That's what I got next here. I'm going DeAndre Swift. I want to play against this Green Bay defense, who has really struggled against the run, another game environment that I'm interested in. And it's really hard to figure out how to play this game at this point. DeAndre Swift being in there for Detroit makes me like this game even more. We'll see. Questionable tag. Hopefully he plays, but I will definitely play some DeAndre Swift.
All right, I'm going with Mostert. I don't think Jeff Wilson has a big role this week. He should do pretty well. Wide receiver, quarterback to score a touchdown. Is that right?
I'm going Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm going to go with – this is tough. All the spots I love. I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson and Zach Wilson.
Wilson, oh, baby.
To Wilson. What's the tight end one? Stack.
Low owned tight end to score a touchdown. Or I don't know that it's low owned, because the guy I have written down is not probably going to be low owned.
Touchdown. You're probably going to say, what are you going to say, Pitts?
I was going to say Gerald Everett.
Oh, I like that. That's a very good one. I'm going to go with Noah Fant. Why not? There's a chance that's more on the Lockett and Metcalf missing, and Fant gets a huge workload. And then low on defense, is that right?
Defense to score 10 points.
Okay.
I have Tampa Bay here. I think the Rams are in trouble. Their offensive line is a mess. Their backfield is a mess. Cooper Kupp's on the injury report. I could see Tampa Bay just shutting down this Rams team completely.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out one. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to go with the Raiders. Why not? I don't love it, but you stole mine with the Bucks. that's it. It's Morning Grind. I'll be back next week here with Keith. Keith, any last minute thoughts before we get on out of here?
No. Tough slate. Tough. Lots of injuries still to shake out. Congratulations to you on your news. Going to be a father for the first time, so always exciting. Congratulations. Weird?
He's covered Fireball Live Finals. Has created life. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. All right, guys. We're out of here. Flyer Cuts!